Today's scripture reading will come from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. And it reads, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it."
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. We are so happy that you are here, and we hope and pray that you will be with us any time that you have that opportunity. Appreciate Jalen reading that passage for us this morning. You know, we often sing the song with our children. It's one of Jensen's favorites, I know. "The wise man built his house upon the rock." And we sing then, "The foolish man built his house upon the sand." So hence the name of our lesson, the title of our lesson this morning, "Choosing Between a Rock and a Soft Place." You know, oftentimes we hear the saying, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, as if we don't really have a way to go. It doesn't matter which way we turn, there's not a soft spot for us to land. And oftentimes we take that as a bad thing. Now, if I were to ask you, would you rather lay down on something hard or on something soft? 90% of us, I would say, are probably going to say, or maybe even more than that, we'd rather lay down on something soft. All of us would say, I think, if we were falling from a height, that we would all want to land on something soft, right? But when it comes to building something, do you want to build on soft ground? Or do you want to build upon rock? And that's what we see here this morning. When I decided to preach this particular lesson, I always strive for sermons to first apply to myself before I try to preach them to anybody else. I didn't realize how much this one was going to apply to me this morning until yesterday about lunch. Peyton announced that Ashley and I lost a very dear friend yesterday, Ashley Sanders. Ashley and I met Ashley Sanders at church camp growing up. And we developed a bond, and we would only see her once a year. But we developed a bond over the course of that week, over those years, that could not be broken. Friends, I can't tell you how happy I am to know that my spiritual house is built upon a rock and not upon sand in times like these. To know that I have a church family upon whom I can lean. To know that I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I can turn to, and all of that because of what Christ said here at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Now friends, I want us to consider some things together this morning. Consider first of all the point of the illustration that Jesus here makes. Okay? He points out that outward religiosity is not enough. It's not enough just to appear religious on the outside. You think about the people to whom he's speaking here and who they were dealing with on a daily basis. He's speaking into a multitude of people. In our Bible class a couple of years ago, we were talking about the eternal kingdom. We're talking about the establishment of the church. And at the time of Jesus, the fullness of time, when Jesus came into this world, you think about the powers that were at that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were in control as far as religious matters went. What they said went. And so people were seeing, though, that they would tell you to do one thing and then they themselves would do another. They were seeing the hypocrisy within the religious system under the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time, and they were fed up. They were ready for something else. And so hence the term the fullness of time. They were ready now at this time for Christ. And so he's making a point here as he brings the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion that outward show is not enough, but rather we must build upon inward righteousness. That is, we must look upon the inside, concentrate upon the inside and not upon the outer. Consider with me this again, verse by verse. As Jalen read, we're in the New King James here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and what? He adds something, doesn't he? He makes it conditional. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Again, the importance of that foundation being upon something else that is solid. Now, the word rock here, it has an indication of being built upon bedrock. You've gone down, you've gotten past all the sediment, you've gotten past all the loose dirt and all that, and we're building upon this bedrock. It cannot be moved. But then on the other hand, everyone who hears these sayings of mine, verse 26, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now again, remember who Jesus is speaking to. Read the last two verses of the chapter. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. Now they had been hearing from the Sadducees, they had been hearing from the Pharisees, some had been hearing from the Zealots, some had been hearing from the Essenes, all these different divisions within the Judaic religious system. But here was Jesus. And it says that they were surprised, they were astonished by what he was saying because he taught as one having authority. Not as the scribes. Very interesting there. But going back to the particular parable that he's talking about, I want you to see here that they both heard the same thing, but the reactions were different. Now what's the difference in these two men? What's the difference in the wise man and the foolish man? Whose life would you say was better? Say the wise man. Why? Well, he kept the commandments. He did what he needed to do. He read the rule book, so to speak, right? He understood that when he was going to build his house, where did he need to build it? On the rock. The foolish man, on the other hand, he read the rule book, but what did he do with it? He threw it out. I'll do this my own way. I'll do it how I want to do it. Now friends, the best life on earth, I am convinced, and I hope that you are too, the best life on earth is the one that is built on Christ. There's nothing that compares. There's nothing that compares at all. To be able to have the family that we have in Christ, friends, it's the words can't describe it. Now, friends, concerning what takes place here, notice that hearing the sayings of Jesus and doing them, it's not a suggestion, but rather it's an absolute principle. It's an absolute command, really. I want you to notice these verses with me. Let's go to them one at a time. Let's go to Job 36. Job 36. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, Elihu was one of Job's so-called friends. And he would begin his dialogue with a praising of God and showing of God's righteousness. Now listen to his words. Now while he was wrong to condemn Job because Job had done nothing wrong, What he says here is very true. Beginning of verse 1, Elihu says, or it says of Elihu, Elihu also proceeded and said, verse 2, bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the house of kings. For he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in the cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted defiantly. He also opens their ear to instruction and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. My friends, what Elihu says here of God, you can't avoid it. Now, when he talks about those that serve God, those that do and keep his commandments, that they will live in prosperity, he's not necessarily talking here about physical prosperity, about having all the money in the world in your bank account, but rather on the spiritual side of it, is how we ought to look at it. When we do the things that God has set forth for us to do, then friends, no one can take that away from us. As Jesus would later say, concerning the things of this world, the thief breaks through and steals, rust can corrupt it, moth can eat it. But when we lay up our treasures in heaven, no man can take that from us. Turn to Psalm 128. Look at the first four verses. Psalm 128. First four verses. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. You see a pattern? What does God say of those who fear Him and keep His commandments? That man's blessed. That man is happy. All right, turn to James 1. James 1, 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Friends, James is merely echoing what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 7. Concerning the wise man and the foolish. Which is wise? The one that looks into the perfect law of liberty, the one that looks into the mirror. He sees what needs to be changed and he changes them. The foolish man, on the other hand, he has the same mirror. He looks into it, he sees the changes that need to be made, but when he turns away, he straightway forgets the changes that need to be made and he goes about his merry way. James says that man is foolish. Christ says that man is foolish. Friends, the common thing that we see throughout Scripture is that those that do the will of God, those that live their lives according to Scripture, those that will walk upon or walk in the straight and narrow, they're infinitely blessed by the God of heaven. God will see to their needs. God will help them through the storms of life. They'll come through, you'll come through stronger on the other side. Now again, I want you to look at this bit by bit. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Notice first of all that the storms are the same. There's nothing different in the storms described by Jesus. They both include rain, they both include wind, They both include all that would be included in the storm. They both beat upon these houses, and yet the effect of the storm was different because of where these things, where these houses were built. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25, these passages are pointing, will point out the storms of life are the same for those that are righteous and those that are outside of Christ. The Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 10 and verse 25, but the whirlwind passes, or when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Friends, the Proverbs writer says that the same whirlwind went past both of them. What happened to the wicked? What happened to the one that did not keep the words of God? He's no more. But what about the righteous? He has an everlasting foundation. Back to Matthew, turn back a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verses 44 and 45. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Friends, the same sun that shines on the evil will shine on the followers of Christ. The same rain that falls upon the evil will also fall upon those that follow Christ. In Matthew 13, staying in the same book, Matthew 13, look at verse 6. Jesus says, but when the sun was up, now this is the parable of the sower. Alright, same seed, right? Different soil. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The storms are the same. But friends, it depends on where our foundation is as to how we cope with the storm. Notice that the houses are the same. There's nothing really different about them. It simply says, the scripture does, that he built a house. He built his house, verse 24, on the rock. Verse 26, he built his house on the sand. Now let's say that they used the same blueprints. Okay? They did. They heard his word, right? Verse 24, who hears these sayings of mine and does them, they have the same word that is spoken in verse 26. They use the same blueprints. The houses are the same. They use the same materials. The houses are the same. They used the same nails. They had the same type of roofing. So what's the difference maker? You've heard the term, haven't you? Someone's opening a business, and maybe there are two people opening a business, basically, and they're identical. And what they're selling and the services that they provide, one is in a good location, one is in a bad location. Which one's going to survive? The one that's in the better location. The one that has is probably in a higher traffic area, right? The difference maker is location. Again, we point back, and you notice this, we keep coming back to the foundation. You can't get away from it. Again, Proverbs 10, verse 25, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verses 10 and 11. Paul writes, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Friends, we must be aware of our foundation. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. Friends, a simple question for us this morning is, where do we build our foundation? Are we outwardly religious? Do we claim to have Jesus as our Savior? Do we claim to be followers of God? But when people look at our lives, what do they see? If they begin to inspect our house, what are they going to find out about the foundation? That's the question we have to ask. When they begin looking closely, what happens? You know what that building is? It's known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? Do you know why it leans? Have you ever looked into that? It wasn't built that way. It would be a modern wonder if it was intentionally built that way. That's not how it was. The foundation wasn't any good. You see, they built it upon soft soil. And so as the weight began to bear down upon it, the soil began to shift. And so we have the picture that we have today. They have to do work on this thing every few years to keep it from falling over. How much does where the foundation is laid matter? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, quite simply, where is your foundation this morning? How have you laid it? Where have you laid it? Friends, if you have laid your foundation anywhere except Jesus Christ, upon the rock, the one that died for you, the one that shed his blood for the remission of your sins, if your foundation is laid anywhere else, friends, you have described for you by Christ what happened when the storms of life begin to beat upon that spiritual house. When the rains come, the winds blow, if your foundation is laid anywhere else but Christ, you're going to fall. And Jesus says, great is the fall of that house. I'm thankful that we have such a rock to be able to build upon. Such a one to whom that we can turn. That we can rely upon Him when our friends may fail us, when family may fail us, when the world fails us, we can turn to Christ. We can lean upon God. We can turn to one another, to the family of Christ. We can draw strength, support, comfort. And it's all because of the rock upon whom we build our spiritual house. Friend, it may be that you're here this morning, and as you inspect your house, you realize that you haven't been building upon the rock. But rather, your house has been built upon sand that shifts when water runs over it. That the wind is able to blow around at its whim. Would you begin to build this morning upon the rock that is Christ Jesus, upon the gospel that He has given us, and live your life, as He says there in Matthew chapter 7, according to these sayings of His, and do them. Friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, build your house this morning upon the rock by putting Christ on in baptism. Don't let another day get by without your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friend, it may be that you're here and you began to build your house upon that rock. You laid the foundation, but maybe you left off building the house. Or you've moved your house from the rock to the shifting sands of the world. Come home. Put the house back where it needs to be. And continue to build upon Christ, the foundation that is laid. That is Christ Jesus. Friend, if you have a need, if you're a subject of the Lord's invitation, come right now while we stand and while we sing.